Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Ashley Babbitt's murderer will go scot-free, according to the latest pronouncement from the misnamed Department of Justice. And not only will he go scot-free, but we slaves will not even be allowed to learn his name. The victim of this murder, Ashley Babbitt, was an unarmed white woman who came to the Capitol on January 6th to demand an investigation of the very questionable election the previous November, and who was shot and killed by an armed guard at the Capitol, though she harmed no one and threatened no one. The video I'll embed in the text version of this broadcast clearly indicates that the shooter was black. This video is valuable because the poster slows it down in some crucial places so you can see not only the obviously dark-skinned hand on the trigger, but also the notably prognathous and slope-headed, kinky-haired killer. The voiceover says the killer is wearing gloves, but that's a mistake. A clearer version of the same video from NBC shows that that isn't true. You can easily see the black shooter's lighter fingernails contrasting with his dark skin. The second video I'll embed is the same one put up by NBC, where the hands of the murderer are shown sharply and clearly. Interestingly, when NBC posted the same video, they blurred out Ashley's face, perhaps to prevent the emotional reactions in the viewer, empathy and sympathy and then righteous anger, that naturally ensue on seeing her in her moment of death. Independent investigators say they've identified the killer as Michael LeRoy Byrd, but we aren't supposed to know that. I wonder what will happen to those investigators. That NBC story, and NBC is run mainly by Jews and was from its beginning, tries to justify the murder of Ashley Babbitt, but their material for this justification is pretty thin. The group Ashley was with, quote, entered the Capitol building, close quote. Well, I've done that myself several times. And then Ashley's group, quote, gained access to a hallway which leads to the chamber of the U.S. House of Representatives, close quote. Well, heck, I've also done that myself. I've done even more. I was actually in the House chamber and in the Senate chamber, too, just like many thousands of Americans have done over the years. And none of those thousands were shot dead as Ashley was. Ashley and her group then came through a door using, quote, their hands, flagpoles, helmets, and other objects, close quote. Whoa, their hands and other objects. That really sounds like a good justification for murdering her. No cause for indictment. Oh, no, not at all. They were using their hands and other objects. They all should have been killed. Funny how no one but Ashley was killed. Couldn't be demonization of politically involved whites combined with typical Negro low impulse control, could it? Oh no. Fully justified killing, our DOJ assures us. Nothing to see here. Funny how all the other people coming through the door weren't shot. Why unarmed Ashley? And what about the people who actually made it into the House and Senate chambers and Nancy Pelosi's office? Why weren't any of them shot? I've even seen footage of Capitol Police interacting and talking respectfully with some of those folks. What the murderer did was surely murder, captured on camera for all to see, with zero justification. The National Alliance demands a new investigation to include inquiries into the political literature and other media viewed and possessed by the killer. A speedy and vigorous prosecution of him and exemplary punishment, in addition to policy changes to ensure that white dissidents are never subject to this kind of injustice again. All white people who publicly protest the tyranny now being imposed on us, no matter how naive their understanding, or how understandable their anger, or how peacefully expressed, no matter how harmless their acts, no matter how many years they have served the system or the nation in the past, no matter even if they are unarmed women, are no longer under the protection of the law. Anything up to and including torture and death will happen to you if so ordered by our alien masters. No matter how many witnesses say otherwise, quote-unquote, what happened is what the DOJ attorneys and Jewish journalists say happened. What actually happened is not relevant, and you'd better quit talking about it if you don't want the same treatment. Nearly 75 years ago, there was another rigged American election, and a group of veterans decided to do something about it. The result was very different from what happened in Washington this year. At the intersection of North College Street and East White Street in Athens, Tennessee, on a small grassy hill, stands an historical marker which reads, quote, "Battle of Athens, August 1 and 2, 1946. The Battle of Athens was an armed revolt that gained national attention. Attempting to end the control of an entrenched political machine, World War II veterans used force to ensure that on the day of local elections in 1946, every vote was counted as cast. After local authorities locked themselves and the ballot boxes in the jail, veterans suspicious of foul play gathered weapons and ammunition and exchanged fire from this hill upon the jail, which once stood across the street. The besieged authorities surrendered. At a meeting in the courthouse, an interim government was set up, followed by the election of the veterans' slate." Close quote. According to one of the veterans who took part, William White, the marker tells only a small part of the story, as related by Logan Nye and National Vanguard correspondents. Quote, "While Sheriff Cantrell and his lackeys from his political machine, quote-unquote, counted the votes while barricaded in the jail, White and the other veterans were getting angry. Finally, sometime after 6 p.m., White led a raid on the National Guard Armory to get guns. White said in a 1969 interview that they broke down the armory doors and took all the rifles, two Thompson submachine guns, and all the ammunition we could carry, loaded it up in the two-ton truck, and went back to GI headquarters and passed out 70 high-powered rifles and two bandoliers of ammunition with each one. The veterans set siege to the jail, firing on deputies that were outside the jail when they arrived. One deputy fell wounded into the building while another crawled under a car after he was hit in his leg. But Sheriff Cantrell and others were safely locked behind the brick walls of the jail. The veterans needed to get through before other police or the National Guard arrived. Molotov cocktails proved ineffective, but at 2:30 in the morning, someone arrived with dynamite. At about the same time, an ambulance arrived, and the veterans let it through, assuming it was there for the wounded. Instead, Cantrell and one of his men escaped in it. A few minutes later, the vets started throwing dynamite. The first bundle was used to blow up a deputy's cruiser, flipping it over. Then three more bundles were thrown. One landed on the porch roof, one under another car, and one against the jail wall. The nearly simultaneous explosions destroyed the wall and car and threw the jail porch off of its foundation. The deputies in the jail, as well as some hiding out in the courthouse, surrendered immediately. The veterans were then forced to protect the deputies, as local townspeople attempted to kill them. At least one deputy had his throat slit, and another of Cantrell's men was shot in the jaw. The veterans established a patrol to keep the peace. To prevent a counterattack by Cantrell, the vets placed machine guns at all the approaches to Athens. The rest of the incident played out without violence. Henry Knox took over as sheriff August 4, 1946, and future elections dismantled what was left of Cantrell's machine. Close quote. History is written by the victors. The winners of the Battle of Athens, had they lost, would have been called insurrectionists and terrorists and desecrators of our temple of democracy, too, just like the January 6 protesters are portrayed today in the controlled media. I have no idea if the victors at the Battle of Athens were right about the political corruption they were fighting, though I suspect they were, since in a democracy, it's about an 80% bet, I think, that there is political corruption, no matter what jurisdiction or administration or party you're talking about. It's almost a sure thing. But what I do know for sure is that the focused, purposeful, united, and organized veterans at the Battle of Athens had a decent chance of success when they began their battle. And I also know that the January 6 protesters had no chance of success, assuming their goals were to effect an honest investigation of and an honest recount of the 2020 election. The January 6 protesters had no plan, no real understanding of the forces arrayed against them, no ideological or political or spiritual or any other kind of unity that I could discern, no shared identity and precious few shared values. And even though I credited them with two goals, I'm not even sure that a majority of them shared those goals. And this chaotic, inchoate, floundering protest with zero discipline or real leadership was totally open to infiltration, redirection, and being set up by America's enemies to take a hard fall, which is exactly what happened. Now, the more advanced sort of patriot, the kind I'm addressing here, knows that risking one's life, and that's what any real protest against the system amounts to these days, to preserve the supposed integrity of the democratic process, is a waste of time. It never had any integrity to begin with. My audience knows that the real issue is not that the system got away with stealing another election in a long line of stolen elections. Elections themselves, even when not a single vote is faked, are almost always a kind of theft anyway, a theft from the people of the people's real leaders. The real issue is not vote counting. The real issue is that the Jewish power structure owns the media and controls the politicians, and is determined to steal all our wealth, take away what little power over our lives that still remains to us, and exterminate us as a people, committing genocide not only on white Americans, but on people of European descent worldwide. We know that the leaders and functionaries of this power structure, whether they be the Jewish heads of the Hydra or the largely non-Jewish paid traitors who work for them, are our people's real enemies. And we know we need to take the media and political power and the power of money away from them if we are to survive. But even we who know these things are woefully divided and disorganized, and largely still mired in belief systems long corrupted by our enemies. The National Alliance aims to change that. We aim to build a core, an elite, of white men and women aware of their identity and their mission, and build with them a living community that can span the generations and lead our people to higher ground, far above the rising tide of blood and violence, far away from the decaying, deadly, insane asylum that most of America is becoming. From that living community will arise natural, incorruptible, focused leadership from which a new nation can arise. There simply isn't any other way to do it. America's future is bound tightly to her past. We Americans, and the term Americans refers only to white people, are a unique blend of European genes, forged in hardship, in conquest, in exploration, and in our endless struggle for freedom and independence for our people. We are restless, unhappy, and exploited as worker drones, living in a third world province of the Jewish elite's New World Order. In recent years, it's becoming increasingly clear that in addition to being exploited, we are also passionately hated and slated for genocide. In the historic task of building a new America, it will fall to us to be examples for our media-befuddled brothers. We who are awakened to our great destiny must spread that awakening, that consciousness of the future, to others. That is the task of the National Alliance, of this web magazine, and of this radio program, American Dissident Voices. Don't be discouraged if your efforts only bring a few into our ranks at first. Spreading our message to our people initiates a self-selection process. Even if only 1 in 200 that you reach decides to support our efforts, that is potentially a million of our folk in the United States alone. Those who are ready for the truth, those in whom the divine spark burns brightest, are the most likely to respond and the most able to help us build for the future. Be a part of that future. Join with us. Together we can make our white community so strong that no one can stop us. Join us, and together we will build a new America and a new order. Not the quote-unquote new world order of the deluded liberal witch doctors now vending a new mixture of communism and superstition to an ignorant delusionariat, but a new order of steel and diamonds. The steel of the white man's will, and the diamonds of his genius. An order in which the productive and the great will be rewarded and not penalized for their gifts, and in which the great will work together for the good of the race instead of for selfish personal interests. An order in which all that was good in the old America will be restored, and all that was corrupt and evil will be obliterated. An order in which a new, true spirituality will live in our hearts, leading us to greatness beyond imagining. and an order in which the seeds of alien subversion will never be allowed to take root again. Live that future now as you work for its triumph. Surround yourself with the sounds of Chopin and Liszt and Wagner and Verdi and Schumann. Fill your home with the sounds of Mozart and Haydn. Be imbued with the European race soul. Cover your walls with the greatest artworks of the West, with Waterhouse and Bierstadt, with Brecker and Cole and Powers and Rossetti, with images of the classical world where our people's culture was born, with images of that culture's greatest renaissance in 20th century Europe. Fill your bookshelves with the greatest works of all time by all those so-called dead white European males, and the females too. Immerse yourself in the grandeur and greatness of the world that once was ours, the world that men and women of our kind built from nothing and will build again on the ruins. Revel in nature and in the too few old-growth forests that remain. Recapture the race memories of the Titan European woods where our race evolved. Immerse yourself in mathematics and the hard sciences and in biological evolution to understand the divine nature that brought us into being. When you visit our once great cities, ignore the brutal concrete and glass blocks and gaze with pride upon the last two centuries still standing magnificent creations of the European spirit. And cast your eyes upward so that you do not see the filthy undermen swarming on the street. Instead, imagine the streets filled with the gentlemen and ladies of a new millennium. And every day, study the works of William Pierce and cosmotheism. The first step to our rebirth begins with you. Remake your lives. Remake yourselves into what you were meant to be. And together, we will make history. When Dr. William Pierce was on his deathbed, he told me that the National Alliance was more than just a group with a political philosophy, more than just an educational organization. He said that his goal for the Alliance was to make it, above all, a group of men and women with a sacred mission, a group with a spiritual basis which would be passed on to each generation in turn so that its vision could never die. He told me that his goal was to make the Alliance have the essence and the staying power of a holy order. When I first met Dr. Pierce in 1982, he was running the Alliance from a cubbyhole office in a rundown section of Arlington, Virginia. One of his outreach efforts at the time was a small sticker with the Alliance's address and telephone number on it, with a single imperative sentence printed above: "Dream of a white America." We can and will get more and more thousands, and then millions, of our people dreaming the same dream. After dreaming the dream comes living the life. Let's work together. And as for Pierce City, it will be built.
Oh, great Lord, hear us, You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the Alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism fundamentally is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine, a place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got 2 legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kind of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us, are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker. Nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. They're no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books. And the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of it, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you, we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a butt. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces. They just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for the for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.